This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Welcome to the Thursday, March 22nd, 2018 edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. Mostly sunny today, a high of 48, but cooler along the lakefront right now. It's 43 degrees at O'Hare, 37 at the lake.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. The markets took quite the tumble this morning. We'll see if the trend will continue this afternoon. We'll bring in Elisa Parenti at Bloomberg.
Rob and Chris, we did see some of the losses being mitigated, but no longer. The Dow is down again by 430 points, and that is a loss approaching 2%. We're all the way back down to 24,250. NASDAQ lower by 114 points. That benchmark down to 7,231, a loss of 1.5%. The S&P tumbling 1.5% or 40 points. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index lower by more than 1%. All of that after President Trump makes good on his plan to, as he says, level the economic playing field with China. He's ordering sweeping tariffs on Chinese imports in a move that could escalate already tense trade relations. Now, within 15 days, the U.S. trade representative is ordered to come up with a proposed list of products that will face higher tariffs. And Trump is also directing the Treasury Secretary to come up with new investment restrictions on Chinese companies within 60 days. As for economic reports today, we got one on new applications for unemployment benefits. They did edge higher last week. A small decline had been forecast. But even with the jump of 3,000 to the new total 229,000, we are still in a job market that appears to be tight. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
Thanks, Lisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we'll be talking about the White House targeting China, $50 billion in trade action, and Congress tries to head off another government shutdown.
It's Technology Thursday. We will talk about the fallout from the controversy over Facebook and the use of your information. And then could Toys R Us, which is on the verge of closing all of its stores, could it be on the brink of coming back from the dead? We'll talk about that coming up at 12:49.
A wallet full of information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Fed makes its move. A spending bill is on the table in Washington. President Trump announces new tariffs on imports from China. And we are joined by David Jones, chairman of DMJ Advisors in Denver and author of the book Understanding Central Banking. Nice to have you back on the program again, David. During those years when the Wall Street was causing the markets to go up and down every time there was a statement from the Fed chief. Yesterday's was a pretty calm.
Indeed, the Fed, if anything, took a back seat to all of the news that's been hitting the market. I was impressed with our new Fed chairman, Jay Powell. He handled himself extremely well, not being trained as an economist. Maybe that's in his favor. But the essence of his presentation was the economy is getting stronger. The unemployment rate is going even lower. Maybe there's still some slack in the labor force, even at a 4% unemployment rate, which none of us believed was possible. Inflation may go up a little bit, but he certainly wasn't panicking over it. But he did raise rates. He did suggest the economy is getting stronger and look for stronger growth this year. And that leaves us essentially with two big headwinds. One of them is higher interest rates, which the Fed promises, and the other is what you've just been talking about, this these trade tariffs, which leave the market with a huge amount of uncertainty.
Also, Congress now is trying to get a spending bill through so that the government doesn't shut down again. What kind of a setback would that be if they don't make it?
Well, it would be just another shock to the market. It's really just an impossible situation if the government should shut down. Congress is supposed to do its job. My guess is they'll get through, but they're going to come through with spending that is substantial, not only in the defense sector, but even in the non-defense sector of the economy. In essence, the Republicans wanted a huge increase in defense spending. The Democrats argued that if you get that, we need a big jump in social spending, and that suggests little, if any, budget discipline. But in the big scheme of things, assuming they do make it without a shutdown, which I think is going to be the case, the budget is not nearly as much of an source of an uncertainty for the market as this trade tariff is.
I was going to say, at this point, are economists and traders grading Congress on a curve in terms of actually coming up with a long-term budget and taking the possibilities of shutdowns off the table?
That's exactly, you summed it perfectly in that question. That's exactly how I see it. I think Congress finally realizes that shutting down the government is just not really an option. So there is a longer-term approach to spending. It does not show as much discipline as I think spending should show, but in order to get that budget through, we had to give the Republicans something and the Democrats something, and that's really the best answer, a longer-term approach to the spending side.
David, it's always nice to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us today. David Jones, chairman of DMJ Advisors in Denver, author of the book Understanding Central Banking. We're going to understand a little more about the tariff news, President Trump's new tariffs sparking a trade war in China, possibly. All of that in our next segment.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
President Trump announces new tariffs on imports from China, and there's concern about possible retaliation. Let's get insight from Paul Christopher, who is the head of global market strategy at Wells Fargo Investment Institute, based in St. Louis, Missouri. Paul, welcome back to the program. The Trump administration will slap $50 billion worth of tariffs over intellectual property theft. First off, where do we go from here? What's the next step in making this a reality? And then if that does happen, how will we experience the after effects in our daily lives?
Yeah, well, first of all, we need to remember that these are just announcements. They're not actually tariffs being applied or implemented. Those announcements are designed for the original purpose, which was political chess in the first place. If the U.S. wanted to put tariffs on Chinese goods, they could do so on a broad basis and it'd be more effective that way. We think these announcements are designed to encourage the Chinese to change some of their own internal policies regarding how much U.S. technology has to be transferred when a U.S. business wants to go to work there. So this is a shot across the bow for the Chinese. They will probably respond in turn with some tariffs maybe on sorghum and soybeans. Again, very limited, very narrow tariffs. And these we think will be intended to be retaliatory, but not very large, not very significant. We think overall these tariffs have a negligible impact on U.S. economic growth.
You know, the U.S. and China are portrayed as economic adversaries, but one market definitely needs the other. So who has the leverage in this situation?
Oh, definitely the U.S. So think of it this way. The U.S. is the buyer. China is the seller. If the buyer goes on strike, the seller has a choice. The seller can go to find another buyer. There aren't many like us left in the world. Or the seller can lower the price or make some concessions. And we think in the end, that's what's going to happen.
Chicago-based Boeing is seeing its shares plummet today based on this move. Can you tell us why that is?
Yeah, part of the tariffs will apply, or the part of the retaliation will apply from China in the form of tariffs on aerospace, but it accounts for a very small portion of total U.S. exports to China. Again, we think the overall impact of these tariffs will be negligible or close to zero.
And do you think President Trump's going to get what he wants?
Well, it remains to be seen how they finally negotiate a deal. I suspect that the president will get some of what he wants and that the Chinese will be able to resist giving him everything that he wants. But that's how you do a negotiation. The problem has been in decades past that the negotiations have just gone around in circles that have never produced any results that fundamentally change the reality that China can sell whatever it wants to us, and under WTO rules, the tariffs are set at very low levels. But the U.S., if it wants to go over to China, it faces only Chinese rules in terms of what technology it has to transfer. That's an unfair advantage for the Chinese, and the president's trying to change that.
Thanks very much, Paul. Paul Christopher is head of global market strategy at Wells Fargo Investment Institute in St. Louis. Still ahead on this Technology Thursday, Facebook is under the microscope for its response to a user information scandal. VBN News Time, 12:25. Let's take a look at the markets now. Sponsored by Baird, here's Elisa Peretti.
Well, Chris, the Dow is now lower by 300 points, or 1.25%. We're at 24,382. That's actually an improvement. NASDAQ down 83 points and the S&P losing 29. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is lower by 1%. Meredith plans to sell Sports Illustrated, Fortune, Time, and Money magazines and eliminate about 1,000 jobs over the next 10 months. These cuts come on top of the 200 that were already issued. Meredith sold Golf magazine earlier this year and will hang on to Time's most profitable title, that's People. We've got a check of the grains markets with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We have mixed prices at the Board of Trade. Corn has been up 2.5 to down 1 at the present time, December. Down rather up a half at 3.97 1/4. Beans have been down 7.5 to up 5.5. July at the moment down 2.25 at 10.38 1/4. And wheat has been up 6 to down 2 at the moment. July wheat up 3.5 at 4.72 3/4. Mixed prices here at the Board of Trade. And this is Pete at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
I'm Chris Kreidel, and these are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are slumping today. We'll see what's moving the markets.
Technology Thursday, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg addresses the unauthorized use of customer information by a firm that places political ads.
As liquidation sales begin at Toys R Us stores across the country, a toy industry executive has a plan to save hundreds of the chain's locations.
And Elgin police are set to release video of the deadly shooting of a woman by an officer during a traffic stop earlier this month.
President Trump's lead lawyer in the Russia investigation is stepping away from the case.
And the stocks are in the red today. The Dow down 366, the NASDAQ off 68, S&P 500 down 25.
AccuWeather says mostly sunny, a high today of 48, low 40s along the lakefront. Right now it's 43 degrees in Chicago, and the Noon Business Hour continues, presented by Old Second Bank.
Markets are losing ground today. We're joined by Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter in Hammond. Chuck, we're just getting back to some wild activity here. Is this something that's going to settle down pretty soon?
Probably not. We're in kind of a little bit of a news vacuum here in terms of, you know, we're not going to get first quarter profits probably for about another 3 to 4 weeks. So the market's going to be really focused on kind of the day-to-day stuff, whether it comes out of the White House, such as the tariffs, or you get an employment report or an inflation report or whatever. And my guess is, we'll continue to see kind of the volatility that we have seen really since early February.
What does the Dow theory tell us right now?
You know, it's very clear, actually, which is nice if you're a Dow theorist and you're looking for kind of clarity on these markets during a time when it kind of feels a little bit like a leaf blowing in the wind. Basically, this, the primary trend of the market is still bullish. The last major signal under the Dow theory was a reconfirmation of the ongoing bull market trend. So it is still a bull market according to the Dow theory. However, you need three things to happen in order to change the trend from bullish to bearish, and we have seen two of them. We had a significant correction that occurred in February with both the Dow Jones Industrial and Dow Jones Transportation averages bottoming in, I think, around February 9th or so. In the case of the industrials, that was 23,860. And in the case of the transportation average, it was 10,136. So we've established significant low points. Then what you need to see is a rally off of those low points to retest the highs, which we have had. And then you need to have the market come back down and close below those two low points in February. So the bottom line is this, the market under the Dow theory is really in a potential inflection point. If, in fact, we break out of this current congestion to the upside and close above the January highs that were established, that would reconfirm the bullish trend. If, on the other hand, we see closes in the Dow Industrials and Transports. And again, those points are in the Industrials, a close below 23,860, and in the Transports, a close below 10,136, and the Dow theory would turn bearish. So, you know, right now we're just kind of waiting and seeing. The market will obviously tell its story. It doesn't necessarily have to do it in the next week, month, 6 months, et cetera. But however the market does break out of this trend or this channel that it's in right now, it will have significant implications for the sustained market move.
Well, the swoon that's taking place this week, is it safe to say this is 100% Facebook, or is it are we also dealing with the saber rattling with the tariffs involving China?
Yeah, I think it's yes is the answer to that. I'm always reluctant to ascribe a market move to 100% to anything because there's such, especially a daily move or even a weekly move, because there's so many inputs that can go into that. But yeah, I think, you know, what you had with the Facebook, it kind of put a dent into a sector that had been really leading the market and providing leadership. So now you have a market that's kind of, you know, a little bewildered in terms of where the next leadership is going to come from. That's obviously playing into the weakness in the market. You have the saber rattling and kind of the realization of what people were kind of expecting to happen in terms of, you know, China and some of the sanctions and trade tariffs against them. Those are all kind of rolled into it as well. And then you have, you know, the specter of higher interest rates and investors still trying to weigh how to play that and the impact of that. So you have a lot of cross currents here. I might add, you cross currents that have nothing to do with corporate profits, which ultimately will probably be the decider on whether this market breaks out to the upside or crumbles to the downside. So, you know, I think there are a number of factors. I wouldn't attribute any the market's move to any one factor for all of the move.
Yesterday's statement from the new Fed chair, was that kind of we got your back or otherwise?
No, I think, you know, the fact that they seem to maybe even walk back a little bit, kind of what they said yesterday in terms of maybe 2019, I can't believe anything that was said yesterday was a big surprise to anybody. You know, whether the Fed raises rates three times this year or four times this year, whether they do it, you know, two or three times next year, I think a lot of people think, well, one of those things is going to happen, and ultimately it's not going to really crush the market. The market's typically in a sustained way are really earnings driven. So corporate profits, again, ultimately is going to tell the tale on this. And we're going to get a pretty good preview of corporate profits for the first quarter and the projections for the remainder of the year in about 3 weeks. And I think that's when you're going to really see this market potentially, you know, decide which direction it wants to go.
Thank you very much. Once again, Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter based in Hammond, Indiana. Always nice to talk to Chuck. Up next in Technology Thursday, Facebook apologizing for the scandal involving the use of customer information.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has addressed the unauthorized use of personal information by a research firm involved in the 2016 presidential election. Let's discuss the response with Ali Mogarabi, who is an equity analyst with Morningstar based in Chicago. Ali, welcome back to the program. Let's talk about the reaction to this as people are starting to realize just how much information Facebook has on them and how it is how it's being sliced and diced and sold to advertisers, potential advertisers. You have people saying they want to delete Facebook. You have Mark Zuckerberg, maybe for the first time in 14 years, reckoning with the power of his invention. This does not seem like an issue that's going to be fixed quickly.
Yeah, Rob, it doesn't seem to be. And there are additional doubts coming forward in terms of if possibly our government here, similar to what is taking place in Europe, can actually take additional regulatory actions, which basically means that the usage of that data that these guys have been compiling now, one, it's not going to be as much detail. Two, is not going to be as much to begin with, because you could see users basically, as you mentioned, you know, delete that Facebook app, and two, you know, what takes place based on that would be the ROI or the return on investment for those ads are not going to be as attractive. So it could actually turn away some advertisers. But Rob, I got to tell you, you know, these guys, Facebook still has over 2 billion users. So that audience set, that user base itself will still make the make it very attractive for advertisers, and it can continue to generate some ad revenues. But yes, there are some additional questions coming about here.
Depending on the size and scope of potential government regulation about the safeguarding personal information, it could drastically change the nature of these so-called FANG stocks, all four of them.
Well, to a certain extent, I would actually say the impact of what you just mentioned would be greater on Facebook than on, for example, Google. Because Facebook, what it does is it does what we refer to as walled garden. So the information that it collects, first off, if you're a user and you go onto the Facebook platform, you have to be signed up on Facebook, as you probably know. So the information that it collects is detailed for each individual, right? But whereas if you search something on Google, you don't necessarily have to be logged in as a Google user. So the information that Google search and or Google collects is not nearly as detailed. So I would say that users are probably going to be worrying less about their privacy and so forth while they're on Google rather than while they're on Facebook.
Well, it's a problem that we're going to continue to be talking about for a while, of course. Ali, thanks so much for joining us today. Ali Mogha-Rabi is Equal Equity Analyst at Morningstar here in Chicago. And join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. Still to come, could there be a comeback in the future for Toys R Us?
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Isaac Larian, the CEO of the company behind the Bratz line of dolls, has a proposal to save Toys R Us. Let's examine the possibilities with Jan Rogers-Niffen, who is CEO at J. Rogers-Niffen Worldwide in New York. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Jan, how would this work?
Well, it'll be interesting to see if it works. You know, when you're a billionaire in your own right and you're also CEO of MGA, and 20% of your toys are sold through Toys R Us, you've got some real reason to try to make this happen. So would Hasbro or Mattel. And you may remember when Aeropostale was going broke, the developers who owned the malls that they were in got together and said, hey, let's save this company so we've still got them in the mall. So clearly there's a reason to save it. On the other hand, they're trying to put together $800 billion. They've only got $200 billion committed so far. And I'm not sure that $800 billion is enough to get the creditors to take it and give up half of the company in the U.S. in order to get this done. So it'll be interesting to see if it can work. There's certainly a lot of reasons to try to make it work. All the toy people would like to have one more seller of toys instead of just Walmart, Amazon, well, and Target. But in any event, they'd love to have one more big player who sells a lot of toys at full price. But I think the odds on this are low. But if they get it done, my guess is we wind up with 200 stores in the U.S., not the 730 or so we have now. And we probably wind up with a very big online business and a lot of promotion behind it. And we wind up with money in from the big toy players.
Yeah,
but
I think it's
a low probability.
Right, and you could also run into the probability that the problems that all the aging retailers are facing right now. The question is, would it be sustainable?
Well, you know, only half of the retailers that go into bankruptcy don't get liquidated. If you're not a retailer, about 90% of the companies that go into bankruptcy don't get liquidated. So retailers are having a hard time not going away once they go into bankruptcy. On the other hand, Toys R Us is a great name, so somebody would want to own that brand. And maybe it would just be an online business only, or maybe just a few stores. So it'll be interesting to see if they can put this together. I'm still betting we see a liquidation. I just think there's more value there for the debt holders. I mean, after all, $5 billion worth of debt goes away if these guys get to do this. Those $5 billion of debt are going to be very interested in getting the very most out of this they can.
Very quickly, who gets custody of the name in a bankruptcy? Because other bankrupt retailers have continued or been brought back either as like an online business. For example, Montgomery Ward was able to shuffle along as an online business for a little while. So where would the name go once the store shuts down?
Somebody will buy that brand. And they may not pay much for it, or they may pay more for it than I think they will. But what generally happens is someone else acquires the brand name and then operates it. You see this happen with candy all the time. Some famous candy bar goes out of business, and yet some other operator buys that name so they can continue manufacturing and selling that candy, usually online. But you also see it happen with other brands, like Fortune Off got bought. Somebody tries to take the brand and make something out of it because people recognize it.
Thanks a lot, Jan Rogers Niffen, CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide, based in New York. You see it also in the airline industry, too. There have been a number of Pan Ams that have tried to come back after the original went out of business, a couple of Braniff revivals, and someone's trying to get a new Eastern Airlines off the ground. So just because a business goes away doesn't mean the name dies with it. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new radio. App.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's check the markets with Elisa Peretti.
Well, Chris, the China's government is warning that it will hit back against U.S.-made goods if President Trump follows through with plans to slap new tariffs on Chinese products that he does intend to do. We've seen him sign the order. Wall Street really doesn't like the sound of that, and so we've had losses all day. Certainly coming back from deeper ones, though, at the moment, the Dow is down 283 points. That's a loss of a little more than 1%. We're right at 24,400. NASDAQ down 78 and the S&P lower by 29. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is lower by less than 1%. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer, meantime, tells the Senate Finance Committee that steel and aluminum tariffs won't be imposed immediately on some nations, and that has shares of U.S. Steel and locally based Century Aluminum plunging. With business at 25 and 55. Live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.